Happy Sabbath, everyone. Anthony did a wonderful job of cutting that off at 6 minutes instead of the eight that it goes on. It sounded so smooth. That was wonderful. Well, happy Sabbath, little flock. We're a little small today, but that's all right. Well, we know that we have to do everything that the Bible commands and instructs us to do, right? Some commands in the Bible are pretty challenging, like the one about loving your enemy, like the one about esteeming everyone better than yourself. There is a command in the Bible that we cannot fully do. A command in the Bible that we cannot fully do. Oh, we can want to with all of our hearts, but we just can't do it. And I'm talking about one that David actually wrote, a man after God's own heart. You'd think that we could do one that's after God's own heart, but we can't fully do it. Are you kind of curious which one it is? Turn over to Psalm 29, verse 2, and you'll see that it relates to the special music we just got through listening to. Psalm 29, verse 2. And I don't know which came first, my sermon or the song. Because it kind of went together. I play that song in my car all the time. Psalm 29:2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due His name." Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Okay, I don't think that's possible for us to give God the glory that's due His name. Oh yeah, we want to, but we just can't. So, what can we do to give God some of the glory that's due His name? That's what we're going to talk about today. What can we do? The first way I'm going to give you to give God some of the glory due His name is by reading the Psalms. And when we went out to Camp High Sierra in the summer, it was when I started reading a psalm or more each day. And I found that it was a wonderful thing to do to actually get in your mind to be able to praise God, to give God some of that glory that's due Him, because look who the writers were, mostly David. I think he's credited with writing over 100 of the 150 Psalms. You got one by Moses in there. You got some by Asaph, the singer, I think. Those will help you if you're, you know, if you're using those each day. It helps you in your mind to be able to praise God. And I recommend the second part of that is to actually read a psalm each day when you start your prayer. So do it on your knees. And if you make that psalm the start of your prayer, you'll automatically be getting your prayer off to a praise of God. So I think that's a couple of, you know, things I can recommend you do. I'm doing them. They work for me. Take a look at Psalm 29, verse 9. I find this fascinating. The very end of that says, "And in His temple, everyone says glory." We're talking about giving God the glory due His name. In His temple, everyone says glory. So that makes me think of the glorious scene at God's throne. So I'm going to go ahead and read to you out of the Living Bible because it captures it the best, I think. I'm just going to read these few verses in Revelation 4. And what I like to do again is in prayer, when I first start, I like to think about this and fix my eyes on that's who I'm praying to. Because otherwise, I'll be looking at the bedspread or looking at our cat Josie that's curled up and trying to get me to pet her. You know, I'll have my mind everywhere but on the great God that I'm trying to pray to. Here's Revelation 4, verse 2 through, I think I'll just read through 9. "And instantly I was in spirit there in heaven and saw, oh, the glory of it, a throne and someone sitting on it. Great bursts of light flashed forth from him as from a glittering diamond or from a shining ruby. And a rainbow glowing like an emerald encircled his throne. 24 smaller thrones surrounded his with 24 elders sitting on them. All were clothed in white with golden crowns upon their heads. Lightning, thunder issued from the throne, and there were voices in the thunder. Directly in front of his throne were seven lighted lamps representing the sevenfold Spirit of God. Spread out before it was a shiny crystal sea. Four living beings, dotted front and back with eyes, stood at the throne's four sides. I'm going to skip down to the end of verse 8. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, the one who is, who was, and is to come." And when the living beings gave glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him and worshipped him, the eternal living one, and cast their crowns before the throne, singing, O Lord, you are worthy to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for you have created all things. They were created and called into being by your act of will." So that reminds me of that song that we just heard by Shannon Wexelberg, where she says, "We will join the hosts of heaven in proclaiming your name." That's what God listens to, that wonderful praise from the four living creatures and the 24 elders. Sounds like nonstop. I don't know how those 24 elders managed to get their crowns back. It says they cast their crowns, and then somehow they got to get them back to cast them again. I don't know exactly what they're doing there, but Psalm 57:5. I said we should read the Psalms, right? And you can just find example after example in the Psalms about how you can give God glory. Psalm 57:5 says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth." And it might remind you of Isaiah 55 verse 8, where it says, "Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our ways." You know, they're better than our ways. Somebody's calculated that someone has now calculated that they think there are between 2 trillion and 3 trillion galaxies. Not just stars, but galaxies. And you go, that's kind of a big leeway, 2 trillion to 3 trillion. That's kind of a big gap. Guess what? God knows every star by name. You know, think of that. We can't tell whether there's 2 trillion or 3 trillion galaxies. He knows every star by name. I think it's a challenge just naming our kids. So, you know, how he does that, I don't know. It just shows you his power and glory. Psalm 8, verse 1 is another good scripture. So these, again, are the first point was, you know, use the Psalms can help you give God the glory to his name. 8, verse 1, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens." Have any of you seen that real interesting video? It's on my Facebook now, but I don't know how many of you can see that. But it's called Inspire Video. And it's got this, starts out focused on this lady named Louise that's laying in a park, happens to be at the Google headquarters, apparently. And it starts out focusing on her, and then it draws back into the universe. And it goes all the way back to 10 billion light years, you know, out past the Milky Way galaxy, I think, and beyond. Well, then it stops, and then it goes all the way back again to her in the park, but it doesn't stop there. It goes right into her left eye and then shows that there's virtually a universe inside our eye. And it goes all the way down to where it's looking at quarks and says they're a femtometer across. F-E-M-T-O-M-E-T-E-R across. You know, millimeter, what, centimeter, femtometer, whatever that is. But, I mean, it's really an amazing little movie that only takes about 3 minutes to look at. And I've been seeing it on Facebook forever, and so finally I shared it to myself so that I could have it to look at whenever I want. And when I did that, quite a few people were inspired by it and copied it to someone else as well. This is actually my second point. I wasn't real clear on that. But give God some of the glory, do his name by visualizing God in his heavenly throne and where he's actually ruling from. That's the second point. Okay, so next verse I want to look at is Psalm 93, verse 5. More Psalms, though. The Psalms will help us to give God the glory due His name. Psalm 93:5. No wonder, because David was a man after God's own heart. It makes perfect sense. Psalm 93, verse 5 says, "Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house." So, you know, in her song, she was singing, "Holy, holy, holy is your name, Lord God." And I don't know. I don't go around, you know, saying holy people are holy. Well, they're not. But, you know, I don't tend to think of even talking to God about how holy He is. But it's not a bad idea, because He is very holy, of course. Psalm 89:14 says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face." I mean, it's talking about these huge values that, you know, we would love to be righteous, we would love to be truthful, we'd love to be merciful, and this is God. Those are adjectives that describe Him. And I put down here, how can we give God the glory, do His name for His holiness, when Isaiah 64:6 says all of our righteousness is as filthy rags? So that's part of our limitation. We want to give God the glory for His name and for His holiness when, you know, we're like filthy rags in comparison. But God still loves us, and He's working with us on that. Psalm 86:9. "All nations whom You have made shall come and worship before You, O Lord, and shall glorify Your name." So we want to do it now. Eventually all nations are going to come. And even there, look at, all nations are as a drop in the bucket, Isaiah 40 says. So, you know, it's really hard to give God the glory due His name, because it's not going to be easy for us to do that. Next thing I wanted to look at was, I've mentioned it before about the Hallel Psalms, Psalm 113 to 118. And Barry did one of the songs there, the third one. Psalm number 70 in our book says it's based on Psalm 118. Of course, it's Dwight Armstrong's rendition of that. Psalm 118 is probably David's rendition, I would guess. Let me see if it says. I didn't pay attention to it, but it doesn't say. But the ones that don't say, they give credit to David. So I'm guessing David wrote that. Anyway, the interesting thing is, I mentioned one other time about the five Hallel Psalms. They mean praise, and they're used very heavily by the Jews, you know, during their festival seasons. So you have down, let me get this right here, they're called Egyptian Hallel because they're used during the Passover when the Israel came out of Egypt. And Psalms 113 to 114 were sung before the Passover meal. This is not our Passover meal that Jesus instituted, but the one that the Jews keep. Psalm 113 and 114 were sung before the meal, and Psalms 115 to 118 were sung after the meal. And it's interesting that they believe that Psalm 118 was probably the song that Jesus and the disciples sang as they went out, you know, left the Passover service and went to the Garden of Gethsemane. When I listen to Psalm 70, I don't know whether that would be the greatest song that you would be singing when he did that or not. I don't know. But that's what they think. Tradition, they think that was the song that Jesus and the disciples. Again, it wasn't Dwight Armstrong's version. It was Psalm 118, whatever they did. Still kind of interesting. And I recommend that, you know, everybody read these five Hallel Psalms sometime, just because they're not only used for Passover time, but also for the Feast of Tabernacles time. Okay, way number three for us to give God some of the glory due His name, of course, would be to marvel at creation, which shouts to the glory of its Creator. And we can turn to Romans 1 for that, for a good scripture about that. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. Romans 1:20 to 21. "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, as we want to do. We want to give Him the glory to His name. Nor were thankful. That's another wonderful way to give God the glory, is to be thankful. But because became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. So, creation, we know, gives God glory. Remember Job? When he was dealing with God personally, that's what God did. He, look at this, Job. Can you create this? Look at this, Job. Can you rule over these animals and what they do? You know, he pointed Job to his creation. And then, of course, when he had gotten done with that, Job said, oh, boy, now my eye sees you. You know, he saw God's glory in the creation that the Creator was pointing him to. I wanted to look up something, you know, just kind of as an interesting creation thing. And if you're on Facebook, people put things on there all the time about these really unusual animals. And I'd been seeing lots of them, but when I went to actually pick one, of course, I couldn't find one. But I remembered seeing one that had some kind of a reptile-like creature. And on his head, he had what was just like a regular insect, kind of like a praying mantis, was growing out of his head. And he used it as fishing bait, you know, kind of like bait to get some other animal that would come along and want to eat the insect, only that was his head. So I could, when I went on the internet and said reptile with insect growing out of its head, it didn't find what I wanted. Yeah, I didn't find what I wanted, so I did find me though these, there were these tiny marine animals in Ireland that are called hydractinia or snail fur. And they're just little video things that says they're only as long as a baby's eyelash. So where's the baby so I can see how long that is? But it's very short, obviously. And they're related to jellyfish and sea anemones. And says they up close they resemble a tree with a foot, a trunk, and a tentacle head for catching passing food. So on the top they have this head with tentacles that will catch food that goes swimming by, because this is in the water. And it says that it often happens to them that a fish that are passing by will accidentally take their head off. So this creature grows a new head in 1 week's time. So I mean, it just, you know, shows you the interesting things that God has created. And the thing about it is they retain their embryonic stem cells for their whole life. So that's why they can regrow this head. So actually the scientists are studying this particular animal in hopes that they can help humans, you know, someday be able to grow organs and things that we want. They weren't really talking about growing another head so much, but they want to be able to grow a new liver or grow, you know, something that would be helpful. And who knows, we all might need a new head sometime, I don't know. Anyway, that was just interesting, and it talked about how salamanders can grow a tail. They can actually grow a tail, but this is one animal that could grow a new head. So, I mean, God's really an amazing creator. A fourth way that we can give some of the glory to God's name is to be guided by the model prayer, which says, of course, hallowed be your name. That's how we should start our normal prayers, you know, giving God thanks, hallowing His name. And so I know in my prayer I often use, I think one that I really like to use the most even is I like to thank God that the supreme power of the universe is kind, loving, good, and merciful, and not like a despot that we're familiar with, Stalin or Pol Pot or, you know, some of the really bad rulers of this earth that this earth has had. How did we luck out that the supreme power is so kind and loving? You know, it's just a wonderful thing. Of course, we have lots of names that we can thank God for, being the healer, you know, being our provider. I always thank God for being the master timer, because that seems to be involved in everything we do, is coming at the right time. Of course, we thank Him for our calling. We thank Him for being our Savior. So Psalm 34:3, there again, we're headed back to the Psalms. It's a wonderful place to get in the mindset of praising God. Psalm 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." So yeah, let us give God the glory, do His name together. In my Bible, I don't know if yours has it. I found two pages that had just two pages full of names and titles for God. Actually, these are just for Christ, Jesus Christ, not even for God the Father. It has two pages. The Last Adam, an Advocate, Alpha and Omega, Amen, Author of Eternal Salvation, Beginning and the End, Blessed and Only Potentate, Branch, Bread of God, Bread of Life, Captain. I mean, I'm barely into the B's and C's. And, so you can use a list like this to come up with all kinds of wonderful names to magnify God, to give Him the honor due His name. He has so many names. Some people say, yeah, those aren't names, those are titles. Well, I don't even want to argue with them. It sounds like a good name to me. But if it's a title, fine, you can still honor God for His title. One of them that's a neat name in the Bible is J-H-V-H, or Yahweh, if you want to say that. Nissi, N-I-S-S-I, means God our banner. That's in Exodus 17:15. And, that's a really interesting name to think of God, because there they camped all night long under a particular banner. And they also then marched all day long under a particular banner. So that kind of covers us for, our night and day. We're under the banner of God. And of course, you can think about the Sabbath and the holy days are a sign. Kind of like a banner, It's a sign that we're God's people and that He's our God. I remember Mr. Armstrong saying often that he spent half of his prayers thanking God. Half of them. And I don't think I've ever lived up to that, even when I've tried. It's just really hard to come up with that many things to say thanks for, because it's just hard to be thankful, really, in some ways. You have to, instead of just feeling thankful, you have to actually give thanks. So the more we try, we have to try to be more thankful and to give God glory to His name by giving thanks. I didn't even put that for one of the choices, so make that 4.5. 4.5, that'll be that one. Ken Murray, I don't know how many of you are familiar with our elder down in Australia. He's near the church's office down there in Claremont, I think it is. He likes to say that he starts prayers by saying, "I love you, Father." That's the first thing he does when he starts a prayer. So I try to do that too. As you can tell, there's a lot of things that I'm throwing out here to do to start your prayers. You read a psalm, you vision God on His throne. "I love you, Father." You can say that like Ken Murray says we should do. And the fifth one is give God some of the glory due His name by keeping the first four commandments, which are what? Love toward God. So if we're going to be telling God the Father that we love Him, we better be keeping the first four commandments, which actually demonstrate that love. No other gods, no graven image. Don't take God's name in vain. And then, of course, my sixth way to honor the name of God and praise the name of God is to give God some of the glory due His name by keeping the Sabbath and the holy days. That's the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. And so that's why we're here today. We're doing that. You're giving God the honor due His name by keeping His Sabbath day, because we know how important those are to God. I mean, that's how He teaches us His plan of salvation. People that think they know what God's doing in this world and they don't keep the holy days and the Sabbath, you find out they don't know what it is. I get a lot of responses from some religious writers to the blog that I write, and sometimes they sound like, "Oh, this person might have some truth. I'll go see," because it always says, "This person likes your blog. Why don't you go look at theirs and maybe you'll like it?" So I do that, and I still have not found one single blog that has the truth of God. I looked at one today that started out saying we don't go to heaven when we die. And I say, "Oh, maybe this one's one that knows the truth. Maybe it's by somebody in the Church of God." But I looked at it and right away it started talking about, well, we don't go there when we die, but we're going there eventually. And it had an analysis of Lazarus and the rich man. And I started reading it and it was all wrong. And so I said, okay, see, I don't want to waste my time on this blog, because They're not blessed with God's truth. They don't keep the Sabbath. They don't keep the holy days. And I remember when I was first came into the church, you know, I used to kind of ponder to God, why don't you tell us more about how to keep your Sabbath? You know, you don't tell us very much about it. Of course, that time I was several months keeping the Sabbath on my own because I hadn't yet made contact. I had written off to the church, but I hadn't gotten anything back from anyone. So I was keeping it myself, and I was really kind of in a fog. I said, well, I know I rest. I know I don't work. But, you know, I'd read the Bible, and about all I could see it said to do was, you know, don't do your own pleasure and don't say your own thoughts, you know. Don't do your own words. And I go, God, what does that mean? You know, you want me to delight in your Sabbath, but yet you said don't do my own pleasure. You know, and I thought, it just seemed like it was hard to figure out. But, you know, it really is an amazing thing God did, because He tells each one of us to don't do your pleasure and your own words. Do mine. And then it's up to us how we keep the Sabbath day trying to do God's pleasure and speak God's pleasure. And we probably all do that somewhat differently. And that gives us all an individual way to give God glory, do His name, because it's all about our relationship with God. That's what it's all about. Jeremiah 9:24. You can turn over there. Jeremiah 9:24. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. And that's what we're really trying to do in our Christian life and on the Sabbath and the holy days. We're trying to know God and develop our relationship with God. And so, you know, all of us are trying to give God the glory, do His name in how we keep the Sabbath and how we keep the holy days. And we're probably not all alike, but I think we're all pretty much in agreement, because a lot of what we can do, you know, we get the big things out of the Bible. We know we don't, you know, do industrial fires on the Sabbath. We know we don't go out and pick up quail on the Sabbath. You know, we know some of the biggies to do and not do. Nehemiah teaches us that, you know, we don't do shopping because, you know, Nehemiah ran off all the people that were trying to do shops. And we get a lot of the things we learn from our mother, the church. That's the one thing I figured out real quick, is that I'm coming into the church and I don't know very much, but here's all these people that have been keeping the Sabbath and the holy days for a long, long time. I'll learn from them. How's it supposed to be done? So, you know, when you see how even our church, how the Sabbath is done here at the church services, and how we wait till the right time to do our socials and things, you know, that teaches you a lot about doing the Sabbath properly. But when it comes down to your own thoughts and your own desires and your own words, we're kind of on our own. You know, we're kind of doing our own understanding of that and how we're going to worship God, how we're going to give God the glory. And I was telling Mary this morning that I was in the hospital in my late 20s in Washington, D.C., because I had foolishly gone out ice skating on the Lincoln Memorial Pond when it was against the law, and I did it anyway. And I twisted my ankle. I broke my ankle really bad in about three places. So I was in the hospital, and the day I was in the hospital was on a Sabbath, and they brought the newspaper around, and I'm an avid newspaper reader, so I bought a newspaper. I wanted to read it. Well, the fellow in the other bed next to me was a Jew, and he got the paper from the guy that came around, and then he said, I already paid you yesterday, remember? And the guy said, yes. I've never forgotten that, because I'm supposed to be the example and the light to him. I have never forgot his example. And I try to apply it to the idea, Mary and I were just talking about it, we get money off on our gasoline at Safeways. The only Safeways that we can go to is the one up here in Monument. We have one in Pueblo West, but we rarely go that way. So for us, it's very tempting to want to get 20 cents off, 30 cents off, sometimes up to 60 cents off a gallon of gas up here at Monument. But I said, you know, if it's on the Sabbath and we have enough gas in our car without doing that, I don't want to go buy gas on the Sabbath. You know, that's what I learned from that man. He used the preparation day to pay for the paper in advance so that he did not have to do that on the Sabbath day. I think God's very happy with that, to see somebody who planned ahead. And we were talking about how sometimes for the potlucks, you can just, I'll just run over to King Soopers and go get something for the potluck. And, you know, I remember feeling a little bit bad about it, because three or four potlucks in a row we did that. And I said, what if I'm telling someone that I keep the Sabbath, and they go, really? I see you over at King Soopers shopping on the Sabbath all the time. You know, it would look bad. Now, I'm not saying you can't do it, because like Mary said, that's the only way that we could have hot food. We can't bring hot food, you know, a couple hours from Canyon City. But I think we're still better off if we bring something that we can bring, instead of planning to go out to a grocery store and shop on the Sabbath, even though I wouldn't think of it as a sin. But I just think God would be more pleased that we're saying, this is your special day, and I'm going to prepare in advance for it and have the food I'm going to bring already prepared. You know, just like Mary always prepares food on Friday for the Sabbath. Like the Bible says, don't do a lot of baking, you know, heavy baking on the Sabbath. So again, it's something that we can do to give God the glory, do His name, by keeping the Sabbath and holy days. My opinion, so you can take that for what it's worth. The seventh way, give God some of the glory, do His name, is by giving Him the respect, do His name. We know we need to give God not only love, but respect. And Moses, those of you who have been, you know, started on a new Bible reading program January 1st, have gone through the Exodus, you know, the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And Numbers chapter 20 was very interesting. And turn over there. Moses, you know, several times the Israelites were complaining and griping against him, and he just took it. He didn't fight back. He didn't argue back. He usually just kept quiet, and God actually stepped in, like with Miriam and Aaron. Moses didn't argue back with him. He just kept quiet, and I think he even dropped to his knees and maybe said, you know, and God delivered him. He always, two or three times, God said, I'm going to wipe out these people. They so disgust me, and I'll start up another group under you, Moses. And he said, no, God, don't do that, because that will look bad to all the nations. They're going to look at you. They're going to look at you and say, oh, you're so powerless. You couldn't bring these people out of Egypt. So he was telling God, these nations won't have any respect for you if you do that. God listened to him every time he said that, because evidently God likes to have proper respect shown to him. Moses used that argument. Chapter 20, Numbers, Moses totally blew it, because God told him to speak to the rock, and instead he was in a real bad attitude from all the griping and grumbling that the Israelites had done. Verse 5, was there any water to drink? And, you know, he was just, it just kind of got to him finally. He just kind of couldn't take it anymore. It was the last straw, as they say. And so he says up there in verse 10, hear now, you rebels, must we, him and Aaron, bring water for you out of this rock? And then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Well, before he had done it, before he had struck the rock once, and it, you know, that's what God wanted him to do. So why not, good measure, do it twice, you know? Well, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, verse 12, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, he gave Moses, you know, terrible punishment. It is just punishment, but I mean, from Moses' viewpoint, terrible punishment to not get to go into the promised land. That he'd done all that and putting up with all those Israelites for all those years, and then he blew it just in this one chapter. It wasn't a chapter for him, of course, but because he didn't give God the respect that he deserved. So, you know, we know better than that. We should certainly be trying to give God the honor and glory due His name by also giving Him the respect due His name. And there's probably ways that, you know, we got to watch that, but maybe I'll get into some more of that as we go. An eighth way that we can give God some of the glory due His name is by good use of singing, music, and entertainment. And I'm sure you could all think of that one. Psalm 69, verse 30. Let's look at that one. The Psalms, they were songs. Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. That's what Mary and I were talking about. That's one of the 4.5 ways to give God some of the glory due His name. One of the songs I really like, we're going to use it for the sing-along we're going to do Tuesday, is the Today song by John Denver. Today, while the blossoms still cling to the... You know, that song. The reason I like that song is one of the verses in the song says, you'll know who I am by the songs that I sing. You'll know who I am by the songs that I sing. And I love that because you will know who people are by the songs they sing. You'll know them by the movies they watch. And you'll know them by, you know, whatever entertainment they do. So there's been a big controversy in the news about this Beauty and the Beast movie. Because when I remember it was months ago when Heather and Jessica showed us the trailer to that movie. And Mary and I go, oh man, we want to go see that. We love the Beauty and the Beast movie that came out, the cartoon version. It was really an awesome movie. We've watched that several times. So we, oh man, I want to go see the live performance. But then, you know, we started hearing about how it's going to have this homosexual motif. And I saw later that the producer is actually homosexual. And then later on, there was a Facebook post going around that showed that the Beast's face was actually a pretty close approximation of some kind of a goat god type thing. So somebody was saying that, you know, they deliberately were trying to get you interested in some kind of goat god, you know, to worship. I wouldn't take it too far, but I know that I have scrupulously avoided all movies about homosexuality. I did not go see Birdcage. I did not go see Good Will Hunting, you know, and I'm not going to go see Beauty and the Beast. I mean, everybody, I love Disney movies, and there was a lady that wrote a blog for the church that said, I'm not going to boycott all Disney movies any more than I would boycott Target because they sell one item that's not very good. I just won't buy that one item. And so same reasoning, you know, I won't, there's quite a few people, you know, with Christian beliefs that were saying, well, I'm not going to go see it. And I decided I wouldn't go see it either, so I won't, but... you know, if anyone else wants to, because that's your choice. But we do, by the movies we choose and support, and especially a lot of it by the songs that we, you know, the songs that we do show who we are. We show God who we are, what we believe. There's a, you've probably all run across this K-Life radio station. It's everywhere in Colorado. And it's, they have their motto says, keeping God first. So there's a lot of people that come on and say, I listen to K-Light all day long because it keeps my mind on God instead of all the worldliness. My only complaint about that is that when I listen to most of the songs on this Christian radio station, I don't like them. I don't feel like they present the right image of God and that they don't give God the glory due His name. I mean, some of them do, just like I love these Shannon Wexelberg ones, most of the ones I've heard. But a lot of the ones on K-Light, you know, if I listened to them, I was just thinking, oh, that's just singing about you. I this, I that, I love God, I. Or it's real syrupy stuff like, you know, a lot of Christian people like to talk. And so I don't recommend that. But after 7 o'clock at night, every night of the week, they play beautiful instrumental music only, no words. And you'll hear a lot of the songs that we have in our church hymnal. As the Deer, there's like 100 different, you know, arrangements to that song. You can hear a lot of really nice songs. During the Christmas season, you know, you probably can't because there they play too many Christmas songs. But the rest of the year, I could highly recommend listening to whatever K-Light, I think it's K-Light. No, I'll say it might be Life, L-I-F-E, I'm not sure. On ours, it's 90.1, ranging all the way up to 90.5, depending on where you are in Fremont County. You might have to change it a little bit to get it in real clear. But a station like that can be really nice. I brought up our hymn book, and in the very front of it, if you open your hymn book up that you have, it says Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the back of the book, back cover, it says from Colossians 3:16-17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So, you go, oh, well, I'll sing the hymns just on the Sabbath. Maybe. I've often thought that if we ever get to the days when there's a famine of the word and we don't have a Bible anymore at our disposal, or you get thrown into prison and you don't get to have a Bible, like I think happened to John, Senator, what's his name? I can't think of his name. The guy that was in prison for a long time. John McCain. I think he was in prison for a long time with no access to a Bible. Well, if that were to happen to you, when we know these songs, like if you knew Psalm 70 we were just singing, you would be singing Psalm 118. You know, and there's a lot of songs like that. So I've often thought, you know, I want to know a lot of these songs to be able to sing them even if I'm not in church. Might be a handy thing to know someday. Anyway, I think there are so many good songs that we can sing that you should have it so that whatever song you do sing, especially on the Sabbath, ought to be glorifying God's name. But even Sunday through Friday, I wouldn't want to be doing a song that does not glorify God's name in it. You know, it might not be so spiritual sounding. You know, it might be today that says, you know, you'll be joyful for whatever happens to you today. You know, that's a wonderful spiritual thought. Without, you can sing that to anybody and they don't even think you're singing a spiritual song to them. It's a John Denver song, you know. So I think we can all do better maybe at being very selective about the songs that we sing, because they do influence our thinking. I remember at the very end of that verse there, at the back of the book, it said, let me go back again. It said, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So number 9 way to give God some of the glory due his name is by honoring Jesus Christ. And we're at that time, prime time, Passover, days of unleavened bread, when he is our unleavened bread. We are going to be entering the next couple of weeks where, boy, it's our chance to really honor Jesus Christ. John 5:23 is a good scripture. John 5:23 says that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So if we want to honor God the Father and bring him some of the glory due his name, one great way to do it is to honor his Son and give him the glory. And so we can all do that. This is, you know, Passover days of unleavened bread. This is our time. You're going to be, you know, we're all going to be doing unleavening our homes pretty soon. You can do that like it's just a ritual and, you know, clean the car, sweep the floor, clean out the couch. You know, it can just be a ritual to you, or you can be thinking about what a wonderful picture it is about sin and, you know, having God help you get sin out of your life. I mean, we can run through the holy days in such a, I've done this, it's going to be my 47th year, so, you know, I already know all this, and just put your blinders on and just get through it. Or we can really, you know, treasure every moment of it and every little aspect of it and give God some of the glory due his name. Because I know that the Father and Jesus Christ have got to be so, you know, if you want to use the word pride, yeah, we talked about that. There is a right pride. I'm sure they have a right pride about those wonderful Sabbath and holy days that they planned before the creation of man and before the creation of the world. Let's go to the 10th way to give God some of the glory due his name. And this is the one I like to use the most often. I say, God, help me to give you the glory due your name by how I live. Because I think that's probably the number one way that we give God the glory, do His name. Rather, the rest of the things I gave you were more about words that you use or things that you say. But really, the way that we're going to give God the most glory, I think, is by living the way that He wants us to live. I know as a parent, you know, we want to see our kids. We just love it when we see them being successful, doing good things. You know, they could be saying, I love you, Dad, but they're doing horrible things, you know, I wouldn't feel good. So, you know, we're parents, you know, we just, you know, we love our daughters and we go, oh, you know, we're so proud of them. They're doing good things. They're living right. God will say the same things about us if we're doing that. 1 Peter 2:12. Turn over to that one. I'm breaking into it, but it says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So as we're trying to give God some of the glory due His name by how we live, hopefully there's going to be some other people that are going to say, oh, I want to do that. Well, they might not understand it now, but it says they're going to glorify God in the day of visitation. So we're looking ahead to that, you know, that innumerable multitude that's going to come out of the great tribulation because they had a witness and they'll go, oh, that's what those people were talking about way back when. Now I get what's going on. So it's a good thing to give God glory by doing what He says. That's a really good way to give God glory. And let's just look at Luke 6, 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Good memorization scripture. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? So, you know, there are a lot of people that, oh yeah, I give God glory, Lord, Lord, you know. Love you, Jesus. You know, good to know the Lord. You know, they have a lot of things to say, but Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? And He would surely say that to us too. Okay, well, I've given you 10 and I think actually 11 because I gave you 4.5. So there's actually 11 ways there for us to give God some of the glory due His name. And I think it's in our best interest to do that because the more we understand and appreciate God's glory, the more we'll appreciate God sharing His glory with us. He says He's going to do that. John 17:22. John 17:22. That's part of His final prayer in the garden that we'll be going through on Passover night. John 17:22, and the glory which you gave me, He says to the Father, I have given them that they may be one just as we are one. So God and Jesus Christ want to give us their glory. And it actually says, I have given them the glory already. So we already have God's glory, I guess, from the way it talks. And surely we do in some way or fashion. Of course, we'll have more of His glory when we're resurrected, naturally. Okay, we know that Hebrews 2:10 says that God is going to bring many sons and daughters to glory. So see, the more that we can give God the glory due His name, the more He's going to give us the glory He wants to give us. So I'm going to give you a recap now of the 10 ways, and actually I'll make it 11. The 11 ways that I gave you that we can give God some of the glory due His name, in case you missed one. We can read the Psalms. We can visualize God in His glory on His heavenly throne. We can marvel at His creation, which shouts to the glory of its Creator. We can hallow His names, all the many names of God. We can keep the first 4 commandments. We can keep the Sabbaths and the holy days. We can give God the respect that's due His name. We can praise the name of God with singing, music, and entertainment. We can confess Jesus Christ. Oh, I forgot to read that one actually. Philippians 2. I did want to read the scripture there. I think it's Philippians 2 something, so I'll have to try to find it here. Philippians 2:11. Oh, let's start in verse 9. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, Jesus is talking about, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that was too good a scripture to pass up. I almost forgot it. Okay, so that was number 9, was confess Jesus as being the Christ, you know, our Savior. And number 10 was by how you live. Number 4.5 was being thankful. So there's 11 ways that we can give God the glory to His name. And for our final scripture, let's turn over to Psalm 72. We're back to the Psalms again. Psalm 72, 18 to 19. And it says, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen.